Hi, Hester McDonald here. You're listening to Dig It, Garden Doctor. To answer your gardening questions this week, I stepped into the WRS studio with Kat Cullen live. Today, we helped Art figure out the best way to keep his Christmas tree right through to the new year and beyond. We looked at a disappointing pear tree, Anne's ornamental but brown conifer. Lucy wanted to plant garlic, and Sita wanted the easiest plant possible for her new house. On with the show.
Hester's got some plants in the studio today. I can't wait to tackle what you've got here and have a look. It's not often that we have plants here in the studio since we have no windows here in the studio. So therefore, it's quite a pleasure to have them down here, but I wouldn't keep them down here. They probably won't last. Hester, I've got a question in. Shall we tackle it straight away? Should we dive in?
Yes.
This is a Christmassy question already. It's coming from
lovely.
Art. And Art says, my question is, how do I treat a Christmas tree in a pot? What do I need to do in order to then plant it successfully after the holidays?
Well, that's a great question. I love that. Yes. Well, the trick really is to bring it indoors at the absolute last minute because they don't like being inside. They will dry out. And although I'm sure you will water it and treat it as if it's a houseplant for a few days, they're not houseplants. They don't like being indoors. They don't like dry atmospheres. They really much prefer to be outside, which is where they live. So bring it in really at the last minute, if you possibly can, kind of the 22nd or the 23rd, and then get it outside again almost as soon as possible.
It'd be
and
quite
keep
nice
it well watered.
It'd be quite nice to set it up on your balcony, wouldn't it?
That'd be a great place to put it.
Get some external lights instead of indoor lights. Just set it up there. Why
and
do we
enjoy
have to bring
it? Yeah. So when it goes outside, keep it well watered. I mean, the ideal is to plant it almost immediately. But if you want to keep it in a pot so that you can bring it back in again next year, make sure that the pot's big enough because sometimes they aren't. Keep it well watered because actually it's the kind of January to March period that conifers can really suffer because we have quite dry springs here quite often. So you might need to water it as if it's a houseplant when it's outside, if it's in a pot. But otherwise, they're really easy plants. I think it's a great idea.
I think we skipped ahead to Christmas, but I love it. And what a great idea. Then you can just have a Christmas tree for life.
Yes, just exactly.
I have another question from David. If you're ready, we can tackle this one. And David says, one of the bushes around our house, I think he says it's a rhododendron maybe, is looking a bit crook with lots of white spots. What do you reckon? Thanks a bunch and have a great day. Now, I have already shown you the pictures. Yeah. Would you like to have another look?
I will have another look, but it is quite infested. So these are scale insects. And there's two or three different sorts of scale. And they're little bugs that attach themselves to a plant. And they're covered either with a waxy coat or a furry coat like these ones are. And they suck the sap underneath. And although they won't kill the plant in and of themselves, they're probably not helping the plant because it really does look quite ill, your plant. So you can get rid of them. There's lots of insecticides that are suitable for scale insects, or you can just use some of the soaps will work really well. You've just got to literally wipe them off. And they shouldn't come back quickly, but you really need to keep an eye on it. Now is an excellent time to kind of get on and tackle things like that. It's not a particularly pleasant job because you're literally wiping insects off stems. Yeah, it's a bit grim. But it's quite efficient and it's quite quick and they shouldn't come back. I have to say the plant itself looking, this could be a candidate for our is it dead yet?
Every time that you come in, we do have someone that has a question of, is this plant dead yet? So you think this might be a candidate for that?
I don't see any leaves.
There's a few. They're a little bit tired. They're a little bit tired around the edge.
Yeah.
David, give us a better shot. We need a better photo of this.
Maybe this is just the really bad side.
Maybe
the rest of it's absolutely fine.
I keep hearing wonders about neem oil.
Yeah, neem oil's really good. It's great for it. And it's a good insecticide. It's really effective. You may find you need to reapply it a few times.
It's quite gentle.
Yeah, fairly. I mean, it'll kill the bug, so it's not that gentle. It's not like water.
Fair.
I wouldn't lick it.
Is it bio? I just keep hearing really good things about it, as if it's different to other chemical type things that you can get.
Yeah, in that it's not chemically produced, it's a natural product, but, you know, there are lots of natural products that are super toxic, so it doesn't necessarily mean that that's, you know, the gentlest of things.
Don't go drinking it.
Don't go drinking it, no, exactly.
Top advice.
Yeah, generally. Yeah, it's pretty effective, particularly against things like, you know, scale insects, aphids, things like that. It's really effective. You will have to reapply, but it's a good way of approaching things, I think.
All right. I just have that in my brain. I keep on hearing about it and think maybe I should get some as an aspiring gardener. I feel like my little collection of gardeny things is not complete unless I have some neem oil ready to go.
Yeah, why not?
Sure, thanks. All right, Hester, more questions are coming in. If you have a question, you can send it in studio@worldradio.ch. Also, we have some goodies to give away. Stay tuned. We have a very lovely giveaway courtesy of
Shilliger. Get inspired.
Shilliger Garden Centre, thank you very much. We've got a poinsettia to give away. Hester, what can you tell us about poinsettias?
They came from Mexico. They're part of the Euphorbia family. They're toxic to cats.
Yeah, good. That is important to know. I've got a cat that likes to chew my plants. So it is important to know that that would therefore need to be kept in a place very, very far away from where a little kitty could get to it.
Maybe.
However, we've got one to give away today, courtesy of Shilliger Garden Centre. In fact, a very lovely one in a basket.
Beautiful. I went and had a little look yesterday and I want one.
Okay. So we're going to ask you a question. Hester's come up with a little question for you.
The question is, what colour is a poinsettia?
Now, there are multiple answers, I believe. So we'll just leave it there. And you can send in your guess, studio@worldradio.ch.
Shilliger, get inspired.
I've got a picture that's come in from Fiona. Hester, I'm going to describe the picture of a tree for you. Okay. It is a tree with one pretty thick, chunky trunk, in actual fact. Then on the very top of it, it's got some leaves, but not so many leaves further down. And then just right in the middle of this tree is one really fat, chunky, chunky pear.
Oh, that's the pear.
That's
okay.
The pear. And it really is the pear because this is the message from Fiona. We got one pear tree and one pear this year. There were two pears last year. Should we just give up? And bye, says Fiona.
Oh, poor tree.
But she goes on to say there were red spots and even furry things growing on the leaves. Now, should this tree be chopped down?
Well, So the first question is, what's the red spots with the furry things? That's pear rust. And it's a problem that's completely endemic to the region. You can't really do a lot about it. Pear rust, those are the blobs and the little things that look alive that aren't. Well, they are sort of, but as in, you know, it's spores being spread. You can treat it. A bouillie bordelaise, which is a Bordeaux mixture, is really effective. But actually what happens is that the spores overwinter on juniper. Any juniper plant at all is the alternate host. And then they reinfect your poor pear plants, which is why you don't see very many pears being grown commercially in this region, because it's a real problem. However, it isn't going to kill your tree. It does reduce its vigour a little bit if it's very bad. More of the problem is probably that pears flower really early. Their blossom comes in very early and it often gets got by frosts. So frequently the real problem is either a lack of bee activity at that time of year. So if it's very windy or if it's very cold, the bees aren't out and they're not pollinating your pear with other pears' blossom and the pollen that is required in order to make fruit. And it may also be a problem that if it flowers early, which they do, and then there's a frost, all of the blossom drops off, which is probably why you're not getting very many. The other problem might well be that there's no other pears nearby to provide pollen from.
Ah, so instead of dropping it down, the next option might be plant another one.
Yeah.
Another
really?
Two? Another three?
Certainly another one that flowers are more or less about the same time. Pears are lovely. I have to say, I have one too, and it's equally kind of not my best fruit tree.
I see.
And I do really look after it, but they just aren't fantastic. They're very pretty trees, but that's it.
If Fiona does chop it down and wants a really successful fruit tree, what fruit tree grows really well around here?
I would go for a self-fertile cherry. A Stella is a really good variety. It's very pretty, beautiful flowers. You won't get loads of fruit. You probably get, you know, 20 in its first year. Mm. But they're very pretty and the autumn colour's gorgeous as well. They're very nice trees. I also wouldn't plant it quite so close to the swimming pool.
Oh.
That might be part of the problem.
What, because of the chemicals in the pool?
Because the chemicals, because of the heat, because of its roots run is absolutely going to be restricted because of the cement at the sides. It's not going to love it.
There it is. I've got another question in from Anne, who said, I hope you can identify whether this pine tree of ours is sick and what we can do about it. The sunshine, unfortunately, highlights the brown bits. Here's some pictures. Can you describe this?
So it's a lovely ornamental conifer with lots and lots of brown bits. And there are lots and lots and lots of needles that are brown. Now, this is quite common and you will notice it at this time of year. There are lots of reasons why conifers might go brown. Unfortunately, there's all sorts of fungal problems and bugs and things like that. But given that Anne sent us some pictures of the needles, it's pretty sure that that's not the case in this particular tree's case. It's drought. Actually,
simple as that.
So one of the problems that conifers really suffer from is a lot of compaction around the roots. And if you're on clay soil, which a lot of people are in this region, just simply walking around near it is not going to help it get watered to the root. So what you can do is work a garden fork, literally prick around the roots right out to the edge of the canopy and beyond, and try not to walk on it too much. This is best done in very frosty weather because then the frost will kind of work into the soil as well. Brush some sand down into the holes, which will help a lot. So it helps keep the holes open rather than them just closing back up again the moment you walk on it.
Yes.
And also avoid fertilizing the lawn near the tree, because that actually accelerates and really exacerbates drought stress, hydric stress for trees. And you're going to need to water it.
Definitely water it. I hope that one helps for the conifer. That's a top tip for watering them, though, creating those little holes that it gets down to all of the roots, no matter how far from the tree.
Yeah.
All right, keep those questions coming in. We've got so many to get through. Hester, stay with us.
Shilliger, get inspired.
I've got a gorgeous poinsettia to give away, courtesy of Shilliger Garden Centre in Gland. I'm asking quite simply, what colour is a poinsettia? Or what colour, I suppose, specifically, is the flower or is the leaves? What colour?
They're actually bracts. Let's not get into that.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Just say, what colour is a poinsettia in general?
Okay.
Well, you can tell us what colour the flowers are. I will be very impressed.
All right. So we've got lots of people coming in with lots of different answers. I've even got Isabel who says, with a light green glitter, but because it's true, as you tend to buy them, they might have a little bit of glitter on them. But I love your answers. Thank you very much. Telma even says, has given me about six answers and said, I did my homework. It's very true. I think you can get a poinsettia in all of those colours, Telma.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thanks so much. We also just had a message in from Fiona as well. Hester, I just want to pass this message on to you. Fiona says, thanks so much for your super informative and useful answer about the pear tree.
Excellent.
Is it time that we tackle another question, though?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
So we've got a question from Caroline, who said, please help. Something is burrowing under my plants. I first noticed one hole earlier in the year and then I filled it with soil. Now there are many holes and the roots of the bush are exposed. I've attached a photo. I'm not sure how clear the problem is. It looks far worse in the flesh. Any idea what's burrowing and how I can encourage them to move out? Does Caroline have badgers? Has she got
tiny badgers? No, I think she's got mula or campanula. So they're shrews or mice, and they can do terrible damage in your garden.
Oh.
And they burrow underneath any and all plants, and they chew the roots. I have a lovely client that has a problem with them coming in from the field behind her house, and she swears that they can read the price tags on the plants. The more expensive, the more delicious.
Oh, I see. So what does this mean for Caroline and her?
Well, you can trap soil. Them. You can find humane traps, which means you can then collect the little mice or shrews that are doing the damage and then go and put them somewhere else in woodland where they're not going to get attacked. If you have a cat, then they are excellent chasers, and actually the mice and shrews will move out if there's a risk of them being eaten.
There you go, Caroline. Go and rescue a cat.
Or fween are apparently voracious predators of them. And you can, of course, poison them and things, but there's a risk of other animals eating that, and including, you know, domestic cats and dogs and other things like hedgehogs.
Can you buy your neighbour a really expensive plant if they can really read the price tags. You create a more enticing space
atmosphere
next door.
That's a great idea. How about that?
Oh, Caroline, good luck with that. Is there anything that you can do to make that atmosphere less appealing for them?
Well, there is some evidence that some of the sonic aids that you can use for moles are quite effective for them as well. So basically you put a probe in the soil and it makes a very high-pitched sound. Younger children can often hear it as well, whereas older people, you know, that top register of your hearing starts to disappear quite quickly. And other animals find it quite annoying. They're quite effective. So you can chase them away by making a horrible noise.
Right. There you go, Caroline. Good luck. Good luck with your not badgers. You're very teeny tiny badgers. All right, we've also got another question from somebody in Geneva, in fact. This is Pietro, who says, I want to grow some exotic plants in my garden. What can I try that will survive in Geneva?
So I would say it depends how exotic you want and whether you've got a balcony or not. Because some things look very exotic, like a Fatsia japonica, which has these huge exotic looking leaves that, you know, really shouldn't belong here at all, but actually do really well here. They've got some in the Jardin Anglais down on the front in Geneva, and they're absolutely fine and actually survive huge amounts of pollution and people dumping bikes in them and all kinds of stuff. So if it's in the garden, I would go for something that looks exotic, but actually isn't really.
Oh, sorry, a Fatsia japonica.
Japonica. Isn't that a great name?
Fatsia. What does it look like? A sort of palmy or more like a cactus?
It's quite palmy.
Great.
It's quite palmy. And they're quite big as well. They're a couple of meters to a maturity. They're really great plants. The other thing that you could do is have something like a banana plant. And some of them actually can go out all year. As long as you wrap them and you've got them through draining soil. But if you've got something like a balcony, they'll be very happy on a balcony. As long as you get one that's not too big, because they can get absolutely enormous. Or you could get something that, like some of the palms, that will do fine in the ground or in a pot. There's all sorts of things. I would go and look in the botanic garden and see what's in the ground.
Check out local garden centres as well. Yeah, I imagine
they've got lots, and they'll be able to tell you what will do well in your ground, in the ground, or in a pot. There are a surprising number of things that will do quite well, actually.
Good excuse for a wander around the botanic garden as well. Something that you can do right now too. Thanks very much, Hester. Stay here. We've got more questions coming in.
Get aboard the magic cable car for the stunning Swiss mountain Christmas experience at Schilliger in Gland. Open 7 days a week until December the 13th.
Now, before we go any further, it's time to say happy birthday to Annabelle, just because she said, I just got this bouquet for my birthday. I don't know if it's today, Annabelle, but happy birthday from us here at WRS. Let's crack on with the questions. I'm ready with the questions. I've got, are you ready? We're going to do this quick fire because
I'm ready.
Lucy, this is a question from Lucy. Where can I buy garlic to plant, or can I just use regular garlic?
So garden centres or the ever popular Landy?
Why can't you just use regular garlic?
You can. There's a risk of virus.
Ah, I see.
That's it. Because the ones you buy in garden centres, ready to plant, or anywhere else, have been heat treated to avoid any viruses.
Diana says, I was given some indoor plants by a friend who moved, and now there is black sticky stuff on the floor where they are. What is it and what can I do?
Oh, it's a bit grim. It's aphid poo, and it's got mould on it.
I wasn't expecting that.
So aphids exude, it's charmingly called honeydew, but it's aphid exudate, which is why ants milk them, large inverted commas, because it's very, very, very high in sugars. So I would look underneath the leaves. The aphids may have died or gone away. They may have gone, and now you're noticing the mess on the floor. And the trick is just to really keep an eye on the undersides of the leaves. It will clean off with soap and water. Just keep an eye for next year and have a look to check there's none of them, you know, hiding at the base of the leaves somewhere.
Talking about generous neighbours, Elizabeth has sent in a message saying, I was given this stem by a neighbour. October, and we've got a photo of it, which you have just had a look at. He said to keep it in water and then plant it. It seems to be doing well. We've got new shoots on the roots. Is it ready to plant in soil, and what will it become?
Well, it's a good question. I'm actually not sure, cut from the picture. It's either a sedum or it's a Verbena bonariensis, both of which are really lovely plants. So yes, the roots are absolutely beautiful. I would put it into some potting soil, not heavy soil, in a pot. I would cut it back to above where you can see all the little bumps on the stem. That's where the leaves are going to come out of next year, which will then reduce the stress on the plant.
So you'll cut the flower off the top?
Cut the flower off the top and actually cut it back quite short, because that will reduce the stress that the roots are going to need to provide to support that plant. So cut it off above one of the little bumps and stick it in some potting soil, and it will be wonderful next year. What a kind thing.
But it's ready to go now.
Yeah.
All right, we can see some roots on there. That's nice. Also, a Monstera plant. We've got a photo in of this one. Why do the leaves of my Monstera turn brown on the edges?
That will be a lack of water. Absolutely. If it's gone yellow or it's slimy, it's overwatering. But something like this, where it's gone a bit brown and crispy, is because it's not getting quite enough water. The other possibility might be that it's got too cold.
I've got another question in from Seether, who says, we're buying a new house with a garden, and the gardening company have given us a choice of laurel, privet, hornbeam, or photinia. What's the best one for quick growth and easy care? I love it, Seether. You are the same kind of gardener as I am. I want something that's easy and that just looks nice with the minimum of upkeep.
I would go for laurel, I think, probably. Because it's quite quick growing. It's not too difficult to look after. You do have to water it, but you have to water everything in its first year. And it kind of goes with everything. It's not super exciting and it's not super biodiverse, but in terms of something that's going to cover up your boundary line, I would go for laurel. The others are nice too, but they are a little bit more complicated to look after and they tend to sulk a bit more in their first year.
I like the really simple, straightforward answers, Hester. I really do. Rather than just go through the pros and cons of each and every one, laurel.
Yeah.
That's the easiest. You want easy? There you go. Done. If you have any questions for Hester, she's going to be back in a few weeks. So you can send them in now or any time between now and, well, is it beginning of December?
Yeah, I think somewhere. Perfect.
So studio@worldradio.ch. You can keep those photos coming in because they are really useful. But we do still have our poinsettia to give away.
Shilliger, get inspired.
That is the lovely sponsor of the show who are donating that gorgeous poinsettia to give away. And it's a basket of poinsettia as well, which you have seen, in
lovely.
Fact. So we've got our question, which is, what colour are poinsettias? And actually, there are many answers that we will accept. That competition is still open. I will leave it open until 11 o'clock. You've got just under 20 minutes to get your answer into studio@worldradio.ch, or you can text 939, start your message off with WRS.
This episode of Dig It was recorded live at the World Radio Switzerland Studios in Geneva, Switzerland, and was sponsored by the wonderful Schilliger Garden Centre. If you have any gardening questions, you can send them through to studio@worldradio.ch and listen to more podcasts about gardens at worldradio.ch/diggit. Happy gardening!